May be seated. You can look on the inside of your bulletin there. I'm going to start a new series called Going Forward in Faith. Going Forward in Faith. Your faith, ladies and gentlemen, will be so important and so vital to you and your life experience in the days and months ahead. And so today we're going to be talking about, can your faith be heard? Because as the Holy Spirit, I believe, was emphasizing to me yesterday as we were kind of praying and reviewing this message, he said, many have to break the silence. Having silent and secret faith. So can your faith be heard? Real, genuine Bible faith can be seen and heard. James said it in James chapter 2. He said, show me your faith by your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works, by not working. And so, in other words, their faith was invisible. They couldn't see it. We're going to talk about that another time. And, of course, in Luke 17, we find that Jesus, in the teaching in the house, he said to the people that were there, that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And when Jesus saw their faith, how many know your faith can be seen? But today I want to emphasize your faith. Can your faith be heard? Now take that specifically and personally for you to let the Holy Spirit help you answer that question. So in Mark 11, 22 through 24, the Bible says, so Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For surely I say unto you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So the Lord Jesus has given us some very powerful principles of the law of faith that we will need, you and I will need in this season and hour in which we live. We see that faith is basically the lifeblood of every believer. So important to live and walk by. So 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for we walk by what? Faith and not by sight. Now, in other words, the Amplified says it this way, by appearances. What you see and feel. And so many people are posting, texting, talking what they see and what they feel. They're not talking their faith. Their faith can't be heard. Amen. He said we are to walk by what? Faith. Lou Niven says, live by believing instead of seeing. Amen. God's a faith God. God requires faith from us as his children. Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, Romans 1, 16, 17 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Everybody say the just, shall live by faith. Now this is mentioned four times. I'm giving you three here, Romans 1:17, and then Galatians 3:11 says the same thing. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God. For it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Amen. Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by what? Faith. Now you get the picture. How are you and I supposed to live? By faith. But if anyone draws back from living by faith, God's soul won't have any pleasure in them. Two very, very important and things that we should monitor to ensure that we are constantly growing and developing in is our love walk. and we talked about that in a recent love series, and our faith walk. Everybody say our love walk.
Our love walk.
And faith walk. So you need to make sure that your love walk is continuing to grow and develop and mature. Your faith, the same thing. So our faith must continue to grow and develop. When our faith grows and develops, three things occur. Number one, Satan's dominion over us wanes. That means his control, his domination, his hand in your affairs begins to wane. Number two, circumstances become less formidable or formidable. In other words, when you're going through a financial crisis or a situation, financially, it's not as like overbearing and overwhelming to you as it was before, because you're growing in faith. Your faith can pass that test or trial situation much better than it was before. Same thing if you've got a physical challenge, health-wise, circumstances become less formidable or formidable. Number three, fear is destroyed. Someone once said there's over thousands of fears, phobias. And sometimes we learn, you usually start off with basically two basic ones, fear of falling and loud noises. And the rest of them you learn as you're growing up in your environment and your circumstances. So sometimes you got to unlearn those fears. Well, when fear is manifested, your faith gets contaminated. We always say where fear starts, failure starts. Where fear starts, faith stops. Now, fear runs around with his two offsprings, doubt and unbelief. And so a lot of times that's the opposite of faith. So you want to grow in faith so your fear gets unlearned and destroyed and obliterated in your life. Isn't that good? God did not give you and I a spirit of what? Fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Our faith grows by two things, feeding and exercising it. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, doesn't come by having heard. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the word of God is faith food. So you need to really step up your feeding schedule on God's word, because faith doesn't come by hearing U.S. News and World Report. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Glory to God. And then you have to release your faith or exercise. Just like people tell you, and doctor tell you, yeah, you gotta really boil it down to two things when you're talking about weight management. Diet and exercise. Amen. I mean, all these thousands and hundreds of diets out there, but they boil it down to two things, what you put in and what you put out. Your workout, diet, and exercise. Same thing with your faith. Diet, feed it, and when you feed your faith, you starve your doubts and your fears. Amen. Isn't that good? And then you have to exercise your faith. That means you've got to start exercising your faith muscles. And Jesus gave us the principles of the law of faith. Believe. Faith is your belief in action. Faith is of the belief is where your heart does. It's the heart channel. It's your faith manufacturing center. You got to feed your heart. Amen. And then you have to speak it out of your mouth. That's usually the first essential act of faith, or you release your faith. So you should be exercising your faith regularly. I like how Pastor Hagin says it. He says, you should use your faith muscles every day to believe God for something. So we often encourage people, don't go to work without your faith going to work. So if you go to work this week, did your faith go to work this week? See, some people just think faith is needed when I need something. Clothes, car, a house, or crisis. Faith should be used consistently on something, for God. Lord, what do you want me to believe for you today? Because I'm supposed to live by faith. That means faith is to us as Christians like oxygen is to our bodies. It's what we exist, why we exist, what we breathe. We should be living by faith. Amen. Is this simple enough for you? It's been said that the door to the supernatural swings on two hinges, believing and speaking. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:13 tells us, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. So can your faith be heard? Now, you think about the door, this door right here. Many of us can see this door. This door here where they've got the nursery set up and stuff. And my grandson's in there getting ministered to, I guess. So, but the door, see, there's a natural side of life. We exist in both realms. The natural side of life is basically based on the limitations of what we feel and what we see, what we experience in the natural, our five physical senses. But to tap into the supernatural, which is behind this door, you have to open the door, but it swings on two hinges. What are the two hinges? This doorway into the supernatural, which is where God lives, where the spirit realm exists, it swings on two hinges, believing, everybody say believing, and speaking. So if you want to tap into what God has, and remember, the spirit realm overrides, overruns, and oversees the natural realm. You exist in both realms. But the only way you can exist and function in that realm, let's say the supernatural is behind this door, is through believing and speaking. Amen. Isn't that good? Amen. So can your faith be heard? You may say, well, I believe in God. I believe God's word, but are you speaking about God? Are you speaking God's word? Believing is the attitude of faith. Speaking is the essential act of faith. Believing is the attitude of faith. Speaking is the essential act of faith. What kind of attitude should your believing attitude be? It's an attitude of confidence in God and in His Word. It's an attitude of confidence in God and in His Word. In other words, who God is, His faithfulness, His character, His reliability, His dependability, trustworthiness in God. I trust God. I believe God. And then you believe what He has said in His Word, the promises of God. So you believe in the promise, and you believe it also in the promiser. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Oh, this is good stuff. It's good enough for you wake up this morning, comb your hair, and come to church. And then the act of faith is your confession of faith. Now, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because we don't have a confessional booth in this church facility, and we never will have a confessional booth in the church, because some people get religious and they think, well, I got to go confess. Well, usually in that context, in the religious traditional context, people only think confessing your sins. But in the New Testament context, you must confess your faith. There's occasions where you have to confess your sins, but not to a human priest, but to your high priest, Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? Now let's look at this, because we got to hold fast our confession. Turn to someone next to you and say this: can your faith be heard? Now look them in the eye and smile on real good. Say, can your faith be heard? Now I'll say a pretty bold statement. If your faith's not talking, your faith's not working. Because typically there's a war of words. And if you talk, if the devil's talking louder than you and bolder than you, then your faith is kind of weak. Are you listening to me? Yes. Hebrews 14:14. Seeing that you have a great high, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. That's our great high priest. Let us hold fast our what? Confession. That means confession of faith, confession of what we believe. So in the Greek, the word profession or the word confession is the same, homologia. Homologia just simply means to say the same thing or to agree with and acknowledge or profession. So it's just more than just speaking. It's a lifestyle which affects every facet of life. Now, here's something you need to understand about faith. Faith works the same in any arena, any sphere, in any realm. And Jesus outlined the principles of the law of faith in Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, and you can go down to 26 when it talks about forgiving, because you need to understand those principles of the law of faith. You only need to understand how this real Bible faith functions and works, because it'll work the same in the healing arena when there's a physical situation, or in the family relationship arena, or it's in a financial arena, or if you're dealing with the situation on your job. Amen. You don't just cut your faith off when you leave church. It affects every facet of your life. A true Christian believer and follower of Christ does not just practice faith on the weekends, but lives it daily. As a Christian, your confession is your profession. Now, there's a difference between amateur and professional. Now, I know they just had the Masters golf tournament earlier this month, and those were professional golf association members that were played and invited to that tournament. That means they play good enough to live by it, and they get paid by it. Now, my friend back there, he plays golf. He's almost a professional. He's pretty good. But he would say, and I think you would agree, he's still an amateur in that context of what we're talking about. Now, he's talking about profession of faith, confession of faith. An amateur has to stick to his day job. My friend has a day job. You're not getting paid by it this much now, are you? You're not. Okay. So he's still in the amateur category. So your faith will never rise above your level of confession. So you got to get a grip on your lip and not let it slip. In other words, on your possession should be your faith confession. So if I went down here and I talked to Brother Steve and I said, okay, what are you saying about, boom, your family? Now, he shouldn't be going like, you ought to pull out your confession. This is what I'm saying about my family. What are you saying about your finances? If I went back here and talked to Sister Frances here, what are you saying about your finances? You ought to be able to put, this is what I'm saying about my finances. See, you should not be caught without a possession of your confession. Amen. That means you ought to be able to say something about your bills, say something about your money, say something about your finances, say something about your future, say something about your family, say something about your job.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, dear Brother Avery right here, he used to be he is a cowboy still, but he used to be in those rodeos. I missed the rodeo this year. And correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Avery, but, you know, one of the things that everybody likes to see, I was at the rodeo last year with some minister friends. And of course, some of y'all sent the picture. I got my big cowboy hat. I break it out every once in a while. And the big cowboy buckle and all that. Gene, hey, don't laugh. I think I look pretty good in that stuff. But anyway, so we're in the rodeo down there at the AT&T Center and San Antonio Livestock Rodeo. And we're out there watching. Everybody wants to see the bull ride, bull rides. And so the camera zooms in at the guy in the cage. That bull is... Now, how much does that bull weigh, usually, typically?
Between 15 and
20. That's a big bull. That's a lot of weight, isn't it? A couple of ton, you know, or so, or more. And so, ton and a half, and this guy's in there, and they got these guys roped now. And you watch that bull ride, and they zoom in on their hands, right? And they zoom in their hands. Why? Because he's tying a rope around. And that's a rope he's tying on, right, to hold on, because he got about 8 seconds. And it's about 8 seconds to hold on to that thing before they say, okay, now you're clear. And so he'll sit there, and they're zooming in on his hands. He's trying to tie that rope. And if it doesn't feel good, he'll retie it and clamp that thing in. He's holding. Why? Because when they let that thing go, that thing's going to buck and shake and move and jerk, and all that 2,000-plus pounds worth of animal is trying to throw that rider off of that bull, off his back. The same thing about your confession. Don't let it slip. You got to keep a grip on your lip. Because some people lay it down. Or they say something, what we call it, you change. You say, well, this doesn't look like it's working. Well, why'd you change it? You just got bucked off the bull. You change your confession. That's what he's saying when he says hold fast. He says hold on to it. Now, Avery can tell you he's done that. He can tell you the good, bad, and probably ugly about it. He means hold on to it. Don't let it slip. Don't let it go.
Amen.
Now, we said confession or homologia means to say the same thing. So you got to hold on to say the same thing God's word says.
Amen.
You don't speak your own opinion or how you feel or see things at the moment. You say what he said. You say what the word says.
Amen.
Is anybody getting at this morning?
Amen.
You got to say it. And you have to keep on saying it because Jesus told us, whosoever shall say to the mountain. What does that mean? You got to talk to the mountain. Mountain is just analogous of something big, something large, something seemingly immovable or impossible. You got to talk to that mountain. In other words, you got to dial the mountain up. 1-800-MOUNTAIN. Or for some of us, it's a local call, 210 or 830, whatever your phone prefix is. You got to dial the mountain. And in other words, you got to talk to it. Now, that's contradictory to what you feel and see. Because most people, when they feel and see, what do? They talk about it.
That's right.
They post on Facebook about it.
Amen.
They tweet about it.
Amen.
They don't talk to it. So one of the first principles is you got to talk to it.
Amen.
The mountain needs to hear your voice. Not your pastor's voice.
Amen.
Your voice. Your voice is your address in the realm of the spirit. There's no other voice like your voice. And you start moving it, putting those charges in there. Like those people when they did way back in the 60s or early 60s, 50s, when they were making the interstates. I think it was President Truman or one of those guys incorporated the interstate concept. Route 66 used to be the road traveled from here to California, Texas. And so they started making interstates. But to get these mountains out of the way, they had to put those little blaster charges to blow up pieces of that mountain. Every time you say, you're blasting that mountain. You're blasting that mountain. Now, that Greek word for say, whoever says to the mountain in Mark 11, is the word epo, which means command. Talk to the mountain and give it a command. He said, be removed Be thou cast in seal. What would you tell your bills? Be paid in full. And balance down to zero.
Amen.
It didn't say you should see it balance down to zero. Don't say it when you see it. Don't say it when you feel it. Because feeling's not in that verse. He said, say it.
That's right.
Don't doubt in your heart, but believe what those things you say shall come to pass. That means that second word, say, is speak out loud. That means you're silent, you lose. So can your faith be heard? You have to break the silence. Oh, this is good stuff. And he said, he shall have whatsoever he thinketh. No, he said, you'll have whatever you say. That last word is where we get the toys, Lego. And if you lived in California, it's Lego Land. It means systematic set discourse or building blocks. That means you got to keep on saying it. Keep on saying it. Keep on saying it. Because is anybody listening to me this morning?
Amen.
Keep on saying it.
Amen.
You have what you say.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's go to Romans 10. Turn in there and look in there. Romans 10, 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, in which the word of faith which we preach. Where is it? It comes in your mouth, and then you get it in your heart. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the what? The heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the what? Mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. So your confession brings your possession. What you confess, you will possess. Just like a dog with a bone. You got to hold down on it. You got to keep it tight. Don't let it go. Hebrews 10:33 says, let us hold fast. Everybody say, hold fast.
Hold fast.
Your profession. This is your professional behavior. Your confession is your possession. Your confession is your profession. Hallelujah. Now, there's three types of New Testament confessions I want to introduce you to, just briefly, and kind of give you some concept about this, because Christianity is called the Great Confession sometimes. So first is the Great Confession where Jesus is Lord. We just read those verses, Romans 9 and 10, 10, 9, and 10. So it's a fundamental practice of your Christian faith that is both initial and continual. Confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, it just because you confessed him as Lord and personal Savior once doesn't mean you can't do it every day. I'm suggesting and submitting to you that it should be done every day. Thank you that Jesus is my Lord. That's the dominant great confession. That means you put Jesus in charge of your body. You put Jesus in charge of your marriage. You put Jesus in charge of your business. You put Jesus in charge of your body.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord. Everybody say Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
That means you place him in a place of supreme authority, that he is victorious. And all that Jesus was, is, and will ever be becomes your portion and your lot for that day. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Everybody say, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
So you got to get a revelation of saying, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Because the devil will mess with you and mess with your mind and get you not to say nothing. He tries to silence you. Second one, New Testament concept, is to confess your sins. This is for restoration, fellowship, and possession of your rights and privileges in Christ. 1 John was not written to sinners, it was written to believers. So 1 John 1:9, we know, tells us if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can you guys put the scripture up there? Put that up there. If we confess our sins. So the condition is if. The word is confess. Same thing. You have to acknowledge. I've messed up. I've done wrong. You have to admit, God, you're right. This is wrong. But if you confess your sins, he is what? Faithful and just to do what? Forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Isn't that good? Because faith trembles in darkness of broken fellowship. So many Christians may have a relationship with God, but they may be out of fellowship with God. Sin breaks what? Fellowship. Broken fellowship separates you from God's presence and supernatural power, peace, protection, and provision. Sin breaks fellowship. That means you can't participate and share in God's presence, God's power, God's peace, God's protection, and God's provision. Why? Because you got sin there. It blocks. It separates. So he said, how do you get rid of the sin? You gotta confess your sin. How do we confess our sin? We have to acknowledge, God, you're right. I messed up. I agree with you. This is wrong. Amen. And get it out. Amen. Sin goes out by the way of the mouth. Righteousness comes in by the way of the mouth. Amen. How are you going to get sin out? By your mouth. Holy Spirit brings something to you up in your spirit, through your spirit. Your spirit convicts you a little bit. Now, the Holy Spirit never brings condemnation because that's a tool of the devil. Amen. But he will bring correction through conviction and say, look, you missed it. The way you talked to her or him was not right. Amen. Well, you gotta get it out. Because if you knew better and you just did wrong, well, I was mad. I was frustrated. I talked ugly. Well, get rid of it. Amen. Get it out. How does it get out? You can't think it out. You gotta confess it out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you got to acknowledge it and admit it to him through your own lips. The third one is the big one, is another big one. It's the confession of faith. Everybody say the confession of faith.
Confession of faith.
So what we believe or what we are believing to see or to receive. Hebrews 4:14 again says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Now, Hebrews 3:1 tells us that he is the apostle and high priest of our confession. In other words, he's sitting up in heaven as he's been sent to help manage your confession of faith. Because when you speak it, as Job says, when you decree a thing, it shall be established. What you say is what you get. Amen. And what you've got is what you've said. Do I need to say that again? So what you say is what you get. And what you've got is what you said.
Amen.
We shared during the offering teaching, there's no inconsequential words. Words matter. You can even hashtag that. Words matter. You can't just run off at the lip. Loose lips sink ships.
Amen.
Amen. If you have a propensity to run and run off at the mouth and have what we call dysentery or diarrhea of the mouth, you need to clean your mouth up.
Amen.
Because your confession matters.
Amen.
Your words matter.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody say, Pastor, you're teaching real good today. All right, give me a little bit of encouragement. Y'all talk to me. What is it we are to confess in faith? Well, we got four things. You need to boldly confess what God has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You don't leave that because that's the centerpiece. That's the starting point and the ending point of the gospel. That's the big deal. What did Jesus do for you and me? By the grace of God, through his death, burial, and resurrection. You got to be confessing that. Secondly, who you are in Christ. now in Christ and what we have in him. 130-something scriptures in the New Testament. In Christ, in whom, in him. You got to say, this is who I am. This is where I am. This is what I have in Christ. Amen. It's good to be in church, but it's more important to be in Christ. Amen. And you got to say who you are in Christ. So can your faith be heard of you saying who you are in Christ? Can your faith be heard on saying what God did for you in his death, burial, and resurrection? Number three, what Jesus is doing now for us in heaven as our great high priest at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says he lives to make intercession for us. We have an advocate with the Father. We have an attorney for the defense. That means you've got somebody who's advocating for you in heaven, in the courtroom of God. Amen. And then verse number four, you got to boldly confess what God by his word and the Holy Spirit can do in us now. Because we often say, God's word, he says, what his word says you can have, you can have. What his word says you can do, you can do. But you have to acknowledge that. You have to say it. Now let's go back to Mark 11, 22, 24, through 24. So Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Everybody say, have faith in God. What is that? That just simply means have the faith of God in some translations. And then you may say it this way without hurting the scripture. Have the God kind of faith. That means God used his faith. If you read Genesis 1, God used his faith 11 times. God said, then he saw. God said, then he saw, and he said, this is good. What do we have to learn about God's faith? Because God's faith is he uses it to create, to cause, and to control. What we are to use our faith to create, to cause, and to control. He did it. By faith, we understand, Hebrews 11:3, that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Well, how do you frame your words, world? By the word of God. Amen. 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 And then he brought the animals to Adam and said, whatever you call them, that's the name. So what are you calling things? Abraham learned that he got to operate like God in Romans chapter 4. He said he called those things which be not as though they were. Now, we quick to call it like it is. Call it out. But are you calling those things which be not as though they were? So everybody should have a be not list. These bills be not paid. So what are you calling them? Paid in full. Now, if you don't say anything, you don't get anything, and then you lose by default. This body be not 100% healthy and whole. So what do you call your body? Well, are you saying it? Can your faith be heard? Your family's full of drama, divisiveness or divisiveness, however you want to say it, division, strife, discord. What are you calling them? You call them knuckleheads? Bad tail kids, black sheep of the family. If you don't say nothing, you don't get nothing. What about your business? Well, we barely getting by. I can't stand San Antonio taxes. You know, taxes go up and all these things, and they always trying to. What are you saying? If your business be not prospering, what are you saying about your business? What are you calling it? How you call it is what will come of it. And just like God said, and then he saw, you and I must say before we see. Well, you're going to have to go back and listen to the recording. This is some good stuff. Have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith. For surely I say unto you, whosoever says to the mountain, be removed, be thou cast in the sea. Nine words. and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says shall be done, will be done. It, he shall have what, whatever he says. So notice we say three times in 23 and believe once. So you have to put three times more emphasis on this, what you're saying, than what you're believing. And really, this verse articulates to us and lays out for us faith by saying. Faith will work by saying without praying. But faith will work by praying. But and if you pray it, you still have to say it.
That's right.
I remember working in the altar, as an usher and catching people being ministered to as a sick. And Kenneth Hagin would go down. He said, well, will you be well when I pray for you and lay hands on you? And people would say, well, I sure hope so. And he said, no, you're not. Go sit down. Now, he's a little bit bolder than I am today. But he would tell them, go sit down, because you're not going to get nothing. Because your words are wrong. How you locate yourself?
That's right.
By your confession.
Right. Amen.
Why? Your confession rules you.
Yes.
You'll never rise above the level of your confession. If you say, well, I sure hope so. Hope's a good waiter, but a poor receiver. Faith takes, faith believes, and receives.
Amen.
So he said, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you what?
Receive.
So desire plus prayer plus believe that you receive them equals you will have them. In other words, you pray that I got it before you get it.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. That's how God said work it. So faith will work by praying it. Faith will work by saying it. But if you pray it, you have to say it. Oh, this will help many of us. I mean, you may be down to your at the bottom of the barrel, but you can come up with faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So this verse in verse 23 has to do with saying. This is Jesus is telling us how to deal with our mountains. And so what am I doing? I'm telling you, this is how you need to deal with your mountains. Because these are hard days coming up. So what's our assignment? To really ratchet up our faith. Because you're going to be a mountain mover. God's going to bless some of you so immeasurably that you're going to be known as a mountain mover. Now, you might have a mountain range now. But deal with one mountain at a time, or whatever your faith can handle at the moment. But Jesus told us this is how we deal with mountain. You got to believe that what you're saying and believe that you receive when you pray. So, in other words, confession builds the road over which faith carries its mighty cargo. E.W. Kenyon said that. Spiritual law that few of us recognize is that our confession rules us. Everybody say, my confession,
rules me.
Now, Kenneth E. Hagin said this way, if you're not happy with what you have in life, check up what you've been saying. Because what you say is what you get, and what you've got is what you've said.
Amen.
Now, in this Mark 11, 23 chapter, he said, he shall have whatsoever you say. In other words, most people are saying what they have instead of having what they say.
Amen.
Oh, I got to repeat that. So most people are saying what they have instead of having what they say. And when you begin to say, you're on your way.
Amen.
To a bigger, better, and brighter day.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Y'all getting something out of this?
Yes.
So you need to stop. People need to stop saying what they have, but need to start having what they say. Faith will never rise above the level of your confession. God can be no bigger than what you confess him today. Be. So if you talk big about your problem and you don't talk big about your God's not bigger than that problem.
Amen.
You got to be like Keith Moore used to sing. There's no God as big as mine. Too big of a problem. You just can't find. And there is no difference. What the devil tries, there is no God as big as mine.
Amen.
When that devil's talking loud and he boasts himself so proud, telling you all the bad things he's going to do to you, you just look him in the face and put that devil in his place and say, there's no God as big as mine. Now, I'm not a singer, but you know, it's a good song. I like that song. The devil will talk to you in the shower, in the car, on your way home, stuck in traffic, and he's talking to you. Nobody cares about you. Yeah, you know that money ain't going to come in. You know you're not going to use your knees, man. You got to figure out how to talk to those bill collectors. The tax people going to come and seize your check. You know you're not going to get your healing this time. It's a war of words. He's putting those words in your head. But if your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, it will never be strong enough to move your mountain. And if you're sitting there listening and letting him flood your mind with all his trash talk, and you don't learn to talk back to the devil, then your faith can't be heard. You got to learn to talk back to the devil. It's a funny story I'm thinking of. Pastor Mark Hankins says, you've been married for a while. You know, some of us are over 30 years. He said, you got to learn to talk back to your wife at least once or twice a year. So I've been married 30-something years, going on 33. And once or twice a year, I get to talk back. Got to rise up. But see, I don't know why I brought that up, but he brought that statement up. Most of the time, I always have the last word, the two last words all the time. Yes, dear. So anyway. But you got to learn to talk back to the devil. Now, you think about last couple of weeks, how much have you talked about your faith or you've spoken of your confession of faith? What you're believing to see or what you're believing to receive from God. And remember, the big aha is if your faith not talking, it's not really working.
Yes, that's right.
Because faith begins by talking.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, the word will continue to... The confession, excuse me, I'm here. Many Christians are weak, though sincere, because they lack a bold confession of who they are in Christ. God has ordained strength to come out of our mouth to stop the enemy of sin, sickness, Satan, and sorrow from defeating you. Don't just let life evil and life's challenges just crawl on you without any type of recourse. You need to be proactive with your faith and also reactive with your faith.
Amen.
Amen. So the confession of your lips that has grown out of your faith in your heart will absolutely defeat the adversary in every combat. So many of us should be spending most of our speaking time dealing with things instead of talking about things.
Amen.
I know the information age has got a lot of us kind of tied up with a lot of stuff that we're dealing with, and that's where we live. But don't get lost in the shuffle and get lost in the silence of not speaking your faith, speaking your expectations, speaking the word of God. Because God, the word will heal you if you can continue to confess it. There was a lady who was prayed for. Kenneth Hagin prayed for her. She had a tumor on the side of her face. It looked like a miniature eggplant. It was kind of bluish, purple, black, hanging off her, just looking ugly, just way down, hanging down off. And, of course, he ministered under a special anointing, but he didn't have it. He said, but you can still get healed by faith. And so he said it was Tuesday night at 9 after 9 o'clock. 9:20 or something like that. And he laid hands on her. And he said, I want you to mark this time down. And he said, I want you to say this. He said, will you do this? She said, yes, I'll do it if it's easy. He said, it's the easiest thing in the world. But you got to make a choice to do it. Just like many of us have to make a choice that when we leave here, we're going to operate in faith on a more consistent and more focused effort and faithful effort. And so he laid hands on her, and he said, this time, 9:20, Tuesday night, hands were laid upon me. I believe that I received my healing. Now, he told her to do it for 10 days. And then she left, and she began to do it. Things still hang in there. She said, every time you look in the mirror, he said, every time you look in the mirror, every time you wake up, waiting, every time you go to bed, when you think about it, say, on Tuesday night, this date, at 9:20, hands were laid upon me, and that, when I believed, I received my healing. And then she did. On the 10th day, everybody say the 10th day. The 10th day, she called Brother Hagin where he was at. He was over at another pastor's house, and the phone rang, and he said, hey, it's that woman you prayed for. And he handed the phone over to him. She said, she said, I was mopping the floor, and I've been making the confessions every day. She didn't keep silent. She kept speaking it. Kept speaking it. And she said, I was mopping the floor, bathroom floor, and that thing fell off my face and hit the floor. Now this girl, and so she said she got that thing up and put it in a jar. I don't know why she put it in a jar, but anyway, she put it in a jar, and she looked in the mirror and she said the skin and everything was just like baby skin. It was just like it was brand new. It was though it was never there. Wow! Glory to God. Now how did he get his healing? Well, he said he got healed by a combination of Mark 11, 23, 24. He had 17 years, 15, 17. He's bedfast since he was the age of 16. 17 and a half. A year and a half, he's in the bed as a teenage boy. He said he had a deformed heart. He said it beat like a one-cylinder car, like a Model T Ford, only a couple of cylinders going off. It was just irregular heartbeat, and his heart was beating out of control. So he had a deformed heart. He had 3 incurable blood diseases. In other words, when they took his blood, it was oranges. It wasn't even red. It was oranges. And he had partial paralysis. That means from the waist down, he couldn't walk, couldn't move. So he's in a bed. He said nobody told him about it. But thank God for the word. Everybody say, thank God for the word. And thank God for the Holy Spirit. He's there inside. He was born again, child of God. He's frustrated. And he's reading down there, and the Holy Spirit said, your healing's in that verse. Those verses. And he had his grandmother's Methodist Bible. He can barely see because he's fading in and out. He's passing out. And so he said, and he got angry, and he threw the Bible across the room and yelled out, I do believe. I do believe I'm healed, that you heal me. He said, and he threw the Bible across, and the Holy Spirit spoke up to him and said, you do believe as far as you know. And he said, whoa. That opened him up because, remember, faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith is based on knowledge, and when knowledge stops, faith stops. Knowledge of God's word stops, your faith stops. And so he knew, oh, let me get the Bible again. So he had called somebody and get it. And the Lord said, look, you have to believe that you receive when you pray. He said, oh. He said, but all the pastors that came in at the time, they weren't New Testament taught. They came in and said, well, just hold on. God's going to take you home shortly. They all didn't give him any hope and didn't give him any help. They just told him, get prepared to die, boy. Son, you just might as well get ready to die. Because he's incurable diseases. He's partially paralyzed. He can't walk. He has a deformed heart. So he got a revelation of Mark 11, 23, 24. He said, I got to believe that I receive when I pray. That means I got to believe I'm healed when I pray for my healing. I got to receive my healing by faith, not by based on what I feel and see, by faith.
Amen.
And so he got a hold of it. He said, and the Holy Spirit taught him how to pray. He said he scooched himself up. He said, I believe I received my healing from my deformed heart. Now notice he's saying it. In his own room, private bedroom, nobody helping him but the Holy Spirit. He said, I believe I received my healing of my deformed heart. I have a good heart. Now it's still beating. And he said, I believe I received my healing of my partial paralysis. And I believe I received my healing for these three incurable blood diseases. And he said, just in case I missed something, I believe I received my healing from the top of my head to the toes of my feet. That covered everything. And the Holy Spirit gave him the next step. Everybody say next step.
Next step.
The next step is where your faith takes you. So he said, well, people get up. Well, people aren't in the bed at 10:30 in the morning. He can't move. We walk by what? Faith and not by sight. And so he whipped his legs out over the bed. And then for the first time in 18 months, he said he began to get up. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I'll pause and give you another side story. These stories are good, right? They really help you. So he was praying for people, 9 people who couldn't walk. He stopped in the middle of the message and said, some people can't walk, can't move, and they have problems with legs. So people came down in wheelchairs, and one person was coming down like this. Couldn't hardly, he could scoot. He said, get down here quick. And he said, and he just looked at him and told him, now run. Now this guy came down here like this. He can't hardly move. He's stiff as a board. Bent over. He said, now run. He started scooting it. And then soon he got around the end of the church. He come back around. He's running full stride. He acted his faith. He didn't argue his faith. The other guys did the same thing. Boom, boom, ladies got up out of the wheelchair, ran. They didn't start off running. They started off where they could. And then the last guy got up there, and he said, why don't you run? He said, why don't you run? And it was a lady, actually. She said, can't you see I'm in this wheelchair and I'm in this walker, or the walker, whatever she was at. He said, I can't do it. I can't run. What whipped her? What defeated her? The words from her own lips rose up and defeated her. Your confession will dominate you. Your confessions will rule you. So back to Brother Hagin. So he whipped his legs out. He got up and walked. He said, if you believe you receive, you would thank me for it. Now, he grew up Baptist, and they didn't raise their hands. And praise the Lord. Some of y'all might remember that. And said, without anybody teaching him, he lifted both hands and began to thank God.
Amen.
Praise God. And the next thing you know, in 10 minutes, he was standing for the first time in 18 months. He said the power of God came over him, healed him. He said like it was a warm glow. Honey, falling all over. He said, I hadn't felt my legs in 18 months. And he said, pins and needles feel like they're coming. He said, it hurt so bad, but it felt so good. Because his nerves were coming back into his legs. And so he said, he was just crying, tears running down his face. And he walked in the kitchen and saw his granddaddy and sat down and ate breakfast for the first time on his own for 18 months. Now, if a teenager can get it, I see a lot of people over than a teenage age. You can get it. Faith will work for anybody, and it will work on anything. Oh, you might need to write that down. Faith will work for anybody and will work on anything. Your success or your usefulness to this world is measured by your confession and tenacity in which you hold fast to that confession. If your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, it will never be strong enough to move your mountain. Closing with these two scriptures. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, assuredly I say unto you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say, In other words, you just have to have a little faith.
That's right.
And it will open your mouth. If you don't open your mouth, your faith is not there. And say to this mountain, be move here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Nothing will be impossible to you.
Amen.
Now, Luke 17, 6 through 8, I'm reading out of Young's literal translation. Young's literal translation, I like it. King James says, increase our faith. And the Lord, they said, Lord, if you have faith as a grain of mustard, you would have said. Now, this one says, King James says, might say. But in the Young's literal, it says, you would have said. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you would have said to your sycamine trees. Like one guy came up to the pastor one time and said, I'm sick of mine and I'm sick of yours. He said, you're sick of yours, I'm sick of mine. No, that's what a sycamine tree represents. Because its wood is used to bury, make caskets. It's pollinated by wasp stingers, and its fruit is eaten by poor people. This is what we call another mountain, something that needs to get out of your way. He said, you would have said to that sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the roots.
Amen.
And it's and planted in the sea, and it should obey you. If you have faith. Everybody say, keep on saying.
Keep on saying.
But who of you has a servant plowing and feeding who do to him have come in and out of the field will say, having come near, recline and eat at meat. Nobody that has a servant. So he's telling us faith acts like a servant to you. In other words, send your faith to work before you even go to work. Put your faith out there. Release your faith. Keep on saying. Keep your faith working. He said, rather say to him, prepare what I may sup and have girded myself about, minister to me till I eat and I drink, and after these things thou shalt eat and drink. In other words, don't let your faith relax and recline until your faith has done its duty. If its duty is to go get that bigger, that better car that you need to be a better minister and witness for the Lord, then go get that new car and get it in.
Amen.
You don't get it in by sweating and toiling and buying. You get it in by faith, by believing and receiving and speaking it.
Amen.
Get that promotion or that job that you need by faith. Believe for that bonus, that commission, that honorarium, that pay raise.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm trying to encourage and jack up some of your faith. I'm like a jackhammer trying to break up all that faith laziness.
Yes.
Put your faith out there on your family. You got kids? Believe them into the kingdom.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Use your faith. Can your faith be heard? You would just stand, please, with me.